Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast. We'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 50, Storing Your Car, Short-Term to Long-Term. This one's going to be just kind of a checklist of things to do based on the length of storage. I'm going to start off kind of short-term, which is 1 to 4 weeks, which some people would go, well, geez, why should I do anything? Well, I understand that, and certainly when a car is new or relatively new, you really shouldn't have to do anything. But there are definitely some recommendations, and I'll take this out even beyond 1 year. You know, again, things to do and how to bring the car back into usage after being in storage. So, 1 to 4 weeks. Well, there's really not much of anything you need to do. I would, though, recommend, and again, this might be if the car is going to be stored for 4 weeks or so, quite often, like if someone's going away on business trips or whatever the case may be, and you tend to be gone for 3 or 4 weeks at a time. The one thing I would recommend would be to get yourself what's called a battery tender. It's basically like a trickle charger. There is an actual name called of a charger called battery tender. The idea being is that it just maintains the battery. Because understand, especially with newer cars, there is a lot of electronics that are operating in the background all of the time. And while granted, you know, there is newer battery technology that will allow for that, and the battery won't necessarily go dead, it does definitely put a load on the battery if you're not using the car for, you know, several weeks at a time. So in the interest of maintaining the battery and getting the maximum life out of it and use out of it, again, I would recommend at least getting a battery tender. Now, a person would go, well, how do I connect that? On a BMW, and I'm sure a lot of cars out there, yes, you can certainly locate the battery and go directly to the battery. Typically, red meaning a red terminal on the end of the cables, it means positive on your battery, and a black terminal means negative on your battery. These are the clamps that are at the end of the battery charger. Some battery chargers are designed to plug into the cigarette lighter. That's usually okay. The downside to it on some cars, though, is that the cigarette lighter is not necessarily hot or has voltage to it all the time. Most cars they do, but not all. Okay, so the safest, most efficient way to go is either directly to the battery, which in a BMW that's typically in the trunk. However, in a BMW, and I imagine a lot of cars are like this, especially when the battery is located remotely, it's not in the engine compartment. If you open the hood, there's generally going to be some sort of battery jump point. In other words, it may have a cover on it. It may be colored red and have a plus sign, or it may be black, but it's going to have some kind of plus sign on it. When you remove that cover, there's going to be some kind of a main, you know, metal post. That would be the same as if you were connecting anything to the positive of the battery. So in other words, it's called a remote jump point or a remote battery point or post. Okay. So at that point, and I'm sure if you check your owner's manual, it's going to show it. Okay. If you're unsure, then certainly look at your owner's manual, and assuming your car has a jump point in the hood area, in the engine area, it's going to show up. Now, that whole scenario is really for relatively newer cars, okay? Typically, it is put in when the battery is located remotely, like in the trunk. Some cars or BMWs, the battery's underneath the rear seat. I mean, we're talking about, well, as old as 1988, is when BMW started putting some batteries underneath the rear seat. Well, obviously that's kind of a pain to get to. So again, if for clarification on your own individual car, if you don't have a BMW, check your owner's manual, okay? And it's going to show if there is where the battery is, number one, and number two, if there is a, you know, extra jump point or a positive post in the hood area, you know, in the engine area, because certainly that would be easier to get to. Okay, but in any case, I would definitely get a battery tender and go from there. Okay, 1 month to 3 months. Well, definitely you want to continue to do the battery situation. You may want to have the fluid levels checked and topped up, whether that's something you do on your own or you have a professional do it. You may also want to consider overinflating the tires. This is to help reduce flat spotting of the tires. It's kind of up to you, really, but it is certainly a good precaution thing to overinflate the tires. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, whatever the normal inflation pressure is, I would go anywhere from maybe 5 to 7 pounds higher than that. And again, that, or you could even go 10 pounds higher, but I wouldn't want to go any higher than that. You can find the normal inflation pressure typically when you open the driver's door on what's called the B pillar. So this would be if you open the driver's door and you look at the vertical pillar, the metal that's there, okay, that the door connected to or latches to, I should say. So this would be to your right as you open the door, okay? There's going to be a couple of different placards or stickers in there. It may have the chassis number and things like that, but there's going to be a placard or a sticker that shows recommended tire pressures. So, and realize tires are always checked cold, okay? If you check tire pressures hot, they're going to be artificially high. So tire pressures are always at a cold type of a setting or situation. So whatever that is, you could go 6, 7, 8, 10 pounds higher than that. And again, this is to help reduce or eliminate the possibility of flat spotting on the tires. And again, this is if you're storing the car for 1 to 3 months. If we go out 3 to 6 months, I would recommend maybe getting a car cover, irregardless of whether the car is stored inside or outside. A car cover certainly helps to keep any dust and stuff off of it. If the car is stored outside, it helps to, bird poop, so on and so forth, because there are definitely some things that can get on the paint that if you don't get them off, if the car's not washed and you don't get those things off, it can definitely mess up the paint job. So a car cover would certainly be a good investment. Make sure that the engine oil is fresh. If it's not, I would have it changed. And you may also want to have someone, a professional, perform a visual inspection of the car before you put it in storage. This way, when it's in storage, if the professional finds anything, maybe it's due for normal maintenance or there's wear and tear issues or whatever, you may want to go ahead and have those repairs performed before you put it into storage. That way, when you bring it out, it should be ready to go. Okay, up to you, obviously. Otherwise, you've got to, kind of plan ahead. And when you're going to bring it out of storage, you probably ought to have those repairs performed after the fact, after you bring it out of storage. So you could go either way on that. 6 months to a year, do everything I've already talked about, plus consider having the coolant changed. Again, just a precautionary thing. You also may want to consider filling the fuel tank to full before you actually put it into storage. This is kind of, in some respects, this was really more for in the old days where fuel tanks were made out of metal. That helps to, by having the tank full, it helps to eliminate or reduce the possibility of rust forming inside the tank. In today's world, most fuel tanks on most cars, I imagine, and certainly BMWs, are plastic, so there's never really a rust issue. But again, I mean, this podcast is sort of trying to cover, all the different possibilities out there. So even if it is a plastic tank, you're certainly not going to hurt it by filling it up with fuel to the full level. Now, some people might argue that, wait a minute, doesn't fuel, can it become aged to where it starts to go bad, so to speak? That is definitely a possibility, okay? But frankly, for the almost 40 years I've been working on cars, I have very rarely ever seen that actually happen, where a car came in and the scenario was, well, it's been in storage for X number of months, years, whatever, and the car won't start now or barely runs, and you come to the realization that, okay, it's got, contaminated fuel, or the fuel has started to go bad to where it no longer helps the car to, makes the car run properly. I've really only seen that happen a couple of times, to be honest. It's potentially, you know, yeah, it's a possibility, okay, but it's extremely low probability of that happening. So again, my advice, you know, in general, is to fill the tank up all the way, okay. A year or more, do all the same things I already talked about. The other thing you may want to consider doing is to have the car up on jack stands. Okay, obviously that's an investment of four what's called jack stands, and yes, you also have to have a floor jack or some means by which to get the car up temporarily up in the air to put the car on jack stands. Again, you know, up to you. I probably wouldn't recommend it as much if the car is like outside where it's on a tilt, like in somebody's driveway or something like that, because unless you know what you're doing, you could, if it's on a tilt, like in a driveway that's on an incline, in the process of jacking it up and putting it on jack stands, if you don't know what you're doing, you could have a problem. Okay, the car could start rolling. So unless you know what you're doing, probably don't do that. Okay. But the reason for having it up on jack stands is just, again, it certainly completely eliminates the possibility of flat spots on the tires. The other thing is that it makes it more difficult for the possibility of rodents to get to the car. I'm not saying that it makes it impossible, but it reduces the likelihood of it, because now they're trying to climb up, you know, a metal jack stand that there's, you know, there's not a lot there for them to be able to grip on to climb up to get into your car. Typically, they want to get into the engine compartment. And I actually, there's a podcast that I did, and I'm trying to remember bear with me here for a minute, but I'll give you the number, the episode number. Bear with me. I should have done this ahead of time. Sorry about that. But I did a podcast of why rodents eat cars' wiring and insulation. It's episode number 33, and it's called Why Do Rodents Eat My Car's Wiring and Insulation? So that might be something to check into. But, you know, again, if the car is going to be up literally in storage for a year or more, jack stands is a good idea. However, be careful if you're doing it on an incline, okay? I leave that up to you. More than a year. If the car has been in storage for a year or more, as far as the process of bringing the car out of storage. You know, again, obviously, if it's on jack stands, let it down. You're going to want to de-inflate the tires to bring them back to what they're normally supposed to be, okay? And, you know, the car, again, if you've had it on a battery tender the entire time, as you should, the car should start up. It may crank over for a bit. Then again, it may crank over, start up, and run perfectly fine. Okay. I would, though, at that point, have the car, either you do it yourself, have the car carefully looked over for leaks, cracked drive belts, visual condition of tires, or any other rubber parts. Okay. Again, especially if the car has been stored outside, this is where a cover helps. Okay. Irregardless, tires can, you know, rubber can obviously rot from age. So depending upon the storage situation and circumstances, you're going to want to have, you know, all the rubber in the car looked over. You're going to want to have the engine compartment looked over for visual condition. If by chance there's been some rodent issues, those need to be obviously addressed and taken care of. Have repairs, whatever repairs needed, performed as needed. And realize this, that, you know, sometimes people think, you know, I mean, I've dealt with this before where people kind of go like, hey, everything was looked at, everything was great before I put it in storage. And they took it out of storage and they, you know, the car now became the daily driver or something to that effect, where it was used a lot more often, obviously. And it can possibly happen over time, whether it's a week, a month, 6 months, whatever, where they're going like, hey, now that I've taken it out of storage and maybe it's become a daily driver again, the car starts to develop different fluid leaks, whether it be oil or coolant or whatever the case may be. And they're kind of like, well, what the heck? This thing was all fine and, you know, so on and so forth. Why is this happening? Well, There's the saying that airplanes were meant to be flown and cars were meant to be driven, okay? And where that becomes applicable in this scenario is that with a car, you know, gaskets that are holding back or holding in, let's say, oil or coolant or whatever fluid it might be, power steering fluid, whatever, especially gaskets, you know, what happens from lack of use is that they become dried out, okay, because you're not using the car, so therefore these fluids aren't being circulated or splashed around inside whatever system we're talking about. And so those gaskets and or seals can dry out. So now you put the car back into normal use, okay, and over time these gaskets or seals can start to leak. And where they, whereas if you'd been using the car, they may not necessarily have started to leak, okay? So part of the process of bringing a car out of storage can be the possibility that you have to deal with to where the car can start developing different fluid leaks. And obviously you have to have those or should have those repaired as needed. I'm certainly not saying it's going to happen every time because it's not, but it's just something to be aware of, okay? I mean, I've seen it happen. I've seen customers kind of get like, well, what's going on here? This car was great when I put it in storage. It's just one of the possibilities of things that can happen when the car is in storage. So, you know, just to let you know, food for thought, it can happen. That's about it. It's really, you know, it shouldn't be a long process. It really kind of depends on what the condition of the car is when you put it into storage. And again, obviously, the length of the storage changes what should or shouldn't be done to it or, you know, what's suggested to be done. You know, whether or not a person decides to have repairs done before or after, that's certainly up to you. But, you know, if there's the possibility, certainly, that a car is taken out of storage quickly, let's just say all of a sudden you need that car, seems to me like it'd be better if you had kind of pre-planned for that and had different repairs done beforehand, and that way you can literally just take it out of storage and within reason put it back on the road relatively quickly. So food for thought. That's about it on this one. I hope it's been informative for you and enlightened you a little bit about the process of storing your car. Appreciate your time. As usual, if you want to get a hold of me via email, it's bkpodcasts5@gmail.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. And, you know, appreciate any feedback or comments or and if you have any ideas for me, I have had a couple of emails where people have given me some good ideas for new subjects. Matter of fact, there's going to be a couple of them coming up here pretty soon. So, you know, keep the ideas coming and appreciate the input. If there's something, you know, if you bring up a subject that maybe I don't know about, I certainly will do, you know, research as needed you know, put together a podcast and put it out there. And so we'll all know. So appreciate your time. Appreciate you listening. I hope you have a great day and a fantastic evening. And thank you again. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you. And thank you again.